Produced at CFIS-FM in Prince George, Health First is available across Canada through the National Campus and Community Radio Association.
Well, we're back. We're talking with Diana Steele about her work that she's been doing in helping people prevent heart disease. Diana, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
So you're a registered dietitian and the owner of Eating for Energy. Tell us a little bit about what dietitians do.
Well, dietitians have several roles. It really depends on what sort of sector you're in. For me, being in private practice, I have a nutrition counseling company, so we do individualized nutrition plans for people, and we specialize in things like weight management and sports nutrition. But dietitians could cover any range of things from heart disease and diabetes management right through to infant nutrition. We also do speaking engagements and work on the media, like interviews like this. But other dietitians might work in the hospital. Other dietitians might work for food companies. So, there's a whole range of things.
So, let's talk about heart disease, because I think that's the issue that we're talking about today. What can dietitians do to reduce the risk of heart disease in the general population?
There are several things that we need to look at, and heart disease being one of those diseases that has many modifiable risk factors, one of the big modifiable risk factors is to maintain a healthy body weight and, of course, to not smoke, being regularly physically active as well. But in terms of diet specifically, when we're looking at one of the risk factors being high cholesterol or high LDL cholesterol, the bad cholesterol, there are certain things that we can do through diet to help lower the bad cholesterol. And that would be something like eating more fish and having more nuts and seeds for those omega-3 fatty acids. Also, eating more soluble fiber. Soluble fiber comes from things like oats and oat bran and legumes like beans and lentils and chickpeas. Eating things like psyllium, which you would find in a cereal like All Bran Buds. And that will help sort of collect the cholesterol and remove it from the system. But there's also been a great deal of research on soy protein, and 25 grams of soy protein has been shown to lower LDL cholesterol levels significantly. So consuming 25 grams per day would be something that I would recommend for those people that do have high LDL cholesterol.
I want to ask you about soy protein. Is it safe for the whole population? Because there has been some documentation out there that say that soya is not great for some types of the population.
Yeah, so we call those the soy myths these days. There was some media around soy consumption possibly being harmful to certain populations. And one of the ones that I'll bring up, because, all of them have been refuted and science has shown that it is safe for all people. But one concern was for women who had breast cancer, there was some thought based on science that women that had recurring breast cancer should perhaps limit the quantity of soy that they consume. But now the current literature has shown that it is, in fact, safe for them as well. The studies that had come up about male fertility and those kinds of things, they were studies done on animals with extremely large quantities of soy that would be no human would eat that amount of soy at one particular time. And it was a very small study, and again, only done on animals.
Mm. I want to ask you about fish. What is the effect of fish on the heart? What are the benefits?
Yeah, fish has omega-3 fatty acids, in particular DHA and EPA. And those two fats have been shown to help reduce inflammation. And because heart disease is an inflammatory disease, when you're eating foods that can help reduce inflammation, you're helping to reduce your risk. And so it will help to open up those blood vessels and prevent the platelets from collecting together and prevent cholesterol from sticking to those blood vessels.
What is how much fish do we need to eat in a week or a day
I would love it if people would eat fish about 2 or 3 times per week, and then on alternate days having things like some ground flaxseed and having nuts and seeds, and maybe even considering going vegetarian for a few meals, which would be a great opportunity to add in some more soy protein known to help lower cholesterol. Mm-hmm.
You know, you've been working with people for a number of years. What have you noticed when you were able to change their diet up?
Well, it depends on the individual. One thing I do know is that big change is difficult when it comes to food. So it's all about making small changes over a lifespan. And when you start off by making healthy food choices, even by being a good role model for your children, those kinds of healthy habits are more likely to stick. So rather than having bad habits and waiting until you have high cholesterol, I would like healthy people to start looking at making great food choices early in life so that they become something that's really natural for them to continue on for the rest of their lives.
What do you consider as bad habits? Like, what should we be really, you know, watching in terms of cholesterol, for example?
Well, I guess a bad habit would be seeking out a sugary snack rather than having something healthy like a glass of soy milk, for example, or having highly sweetened beverages like pop. We know that sugar is one of the greatest risks for obesity, and because obesity is a risk factor for heart disease, doing things that ways of reducing the amount of sugar in your diet is a good idea. So getting rid of the pop and instead having a glass of, you know, almond fresh unsweetened or a glass of so good soy milk, you're going to get way less sugar, and you're also going to be getting a source of calcium and vitamin D and B12. And fortified beverages like almond beverages and soy beverages like So Good and So Nice, they are fortified with the calcium and vitamin D that is the same as a glass of milk, but there's no cholesterol in them. So they're great alternatives. Mm.
I noticed one of the things you didn't talk about was fat. But you mentioned sugar in terms of cholesterol. Has the what we know about cholesterol levels changed?
Well, speaking of fat, you know, the omega-3 fats that I talked about in fish, what we want to do is make sure that people are getting the good fats in there, so the polyunsaturated and monounsaturated fats that are coming from plant foods, and reducing the amount of saturated fats that are coming from animal foods. Saturated fats and trans fats are linked with an increased risk of LDL cholesterol. So choosing, less fatty cuts of meat, avoiding the bacon and sausages, and getting rid of anything that's got trans fats, which would be foods that are cooked in a big vat of oil, you know, deep fried things, trying to cut back on those. But instead of replacing the fat with a carb, we'd rather you replace it with a good type of fat. So having olive oil on your salad for salad dressings, and including the good fats from fish and nuts and seeds.
Mm. Diana, in terms of, you said sometimes it takes a whole lifetime to make these changes, but can people notice a difference in reducing their cholesterol levels over a period of months or years by changing their diet?
Absolutely. The new health claim that Health Canada just put forward, which was that 25 grams of soy protein per day can help lower cholesterol levels, that over a short period of time can start to lower your LDL cholesterol. And you need to continue to consume the soy protein, but it's definitely one thing that you can notice. If you had your cholesterol checked today and then measured it again in 3 months, you would notice a significant drop if you were consistent consuming your soy protein. So it can have a remarkable change. And even losing 10% of your body weight can have a significant amount of change on your LDL cholesterol.
Hmm. One of the concerns, I guess, about soya, the soybean, is that there is a lot of genetically modified soybeans out there. Is that really healthy, or have studies shown that, that all soybeans are equal?
Well, if you are concerned with genetically modified soybeans, you can choose foods that are made with soybeans that are not genetically modified. So, for example, the soybeans sourced from Ontario used in the So Good and So Nice fortified soy beverages, they are genetically modified soybeans. And to ensure that you're encouraging people to continue to produce those non-genetically modified foods, choosing those as a consumer is a good option.
We're talking with Diana Steele. We're talking about ways in which you can reduce your cholesterol levels. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to be finding out more about how you can stay healthy.